Welcome to the Economic Policy Institute's podcast and our series on the Agenda for Shared Prosperity. Today's topic, Healthcare for America.
The topic of today's podcast is Healthcare for America, a plan being put forward by the Economic Policy Institute as part of its Agenda for Shared Prosperity that would provide healthcare for everyone. We're talking with Lawrence Michel of the Economic Policy Institute and Jacob Hacker, a political scientist at Yale University who authored the plan for EPI. Before we get into the healthcare plan, I'd like to have Larry start by briefly describing the Agenda for Shared Prosperity for those who are not yet familiar with the overarching economic program.
Thank you very much. The economy has been broken for many a year now, such that there was a growing economy, but it didn't filter down to the vast majority of Americans. We think this is because there's a disconnect between the pay, the wages of people, and the rising productivity that needs to be restored with aggressive policies. That's why the Economic Policy Institute began its initiative on the Agenda for Shared Prosperity. One really clear way that we can provide shared prosperity and increased economic security is to provide affordable and accessible health care for all that also improves the economic competitiveness of American industry.
And can you tell us how the Healthcare for America plan fits into the agenda?
Health insurance is a key part of the economic situation today. Without it, Americans put their physical, mental, and economic well-being at risk. Ultimately, having such a large segment of our population at risk weakens the stability of individual households and our nation's economy. Unlike the stale ideas of tax credits and health savings account that the, quote, you're on your own advocates always push, Healthcare for America builds on the strengths we already have in place through Medicare and our employer-provided assist system to expand coverage. The plan leverages the power of numbers in a broad national pool that allows us to reduce costs and expand quality coverage to virtually everyone in America. We provide access, we provide affordable costs, and we provide for a more competitive economy.
Jacob, can you tell us more about the plan? How will it work?
Well, as Larry said, the plan builds on the best elements of our present system to provide affordable quality health care to all Americans. And those elements are, first, employer-provided health insurance for employers that can afford to provide good coverage, and that's usually among highly paid workers. And second, making sure that we expand the proven track record of public insurance programs like Medicare to make sure that everyone has the ability to get a good quality insurance plan that provides them access to necessary care. So in the proposal that the Economic Policy Institute has put forward, employers would be asked to make a choice. They would either have to provide private insurance that met minimum standards, that was good, that provided people with protection against ruinous medical costs, or they could provide insurance to their workers by paying a relatively modest contribution of 6% of payroll to the federal government to provide a good health insurance plan to all their workers. Now, it's important to keep in mind that this proposal would provide more choices to employers and workers. They would not only have access to this new national plan, the Healthcare for America plan, but through that national plan, workers who were enrolled in it could get private health insurance coverage that met these same national standards. It's also important to note that this would dramatically reduce national health spending, thus lessening the burden on employers, even if they didn't choose to enroll their workers in the new Healthcare for America plan. Now, workers who did receive coverage from their employer through the Healthcare for America plan would be automatically covered, just as if they were covered through employment-based insurance. And they would have very strictly limited out-of-pocket costs and access to a very broad range of benefits, benefits that would include not only what Medicare now offers, but also mental, maternal, and child health services, and a good prescription drug plan in which the federal government would negotiate for lower prices. So ultimately, this proposal would combine the best elements of the system we now have, but it would do so that every person had access to a good, quality, affordable plan that offered them access to the services they need to remain healthy and productive members of our society.
The Lewin Group, a nationally respected nonpartisan healthcare consulting firm, recently analyzed this plan. Can you summarize their findings?
The bottom line of the Lewin Group's findings is that this plan could cover everyone without spending any more than we're spending now, and not just cover them for bare bones basic benefits, but for good benefits to protect people against the ruinous costs of health care in today's economy. The Lewin analysis estimates that the program would cover 99.6% of all Americans without raising total national health spending at all. And over time, it would save hundreds of billions of dollars. Indeed, the Lewin Group estimates that it would save more than $1 trillion over the next 10 years in national health spending. Indeed, the Lewin Group estimates that it would save more than that the proposal would save more than $1 trillion over the next 10 years in national health spending. And those savings aren't just savings to our economy as a whole. They mean big savings for employers, for individuals, and for states. And Larry can say a bit more about that.
Yeah, Jacob, I think it's really important to dwell on the fact that the Healthcare for America plan 10 years from now means that we'll be spending 5% less as a country on healthcare than we otherwise would. And what do we get for that? We have every person with affordable and accessible health insurance. We have the firms who now provide health insurance to their employees having much lower costs. And we have workers who are in such firms actually getting a wage boost, because as the costs to the employers go down, some of that will be shared in higher wages with workers. You know, we will also see state and local governments save, because they are also employers with who have health insurance costs for their employees. One of the problems we have in our healthcare system is it's very hard for small businesses to have affordable health care to provide to their employees. But now, under this plan, small firms can offer coverage. We see very broad-based benefits for individual workers and their families, for the employers that are providing health insurance already, and for firms that want to be able to provide health insurance but now are not really able to do so.
Larry, can you tell us more about the overall cost of the plan to the taxpayers based on Lewin's findings?
Yes, I'd be glad to. Because this plan makes for a more efficient healthcare system and it also saves money with lots of preventative measures, the new federal spending would only be about $49 billion. And that is really 1/3 of 1% of GDP, a very small amount, only around 1.5% or so of total national spending on healthcare. Now, what we see from this is that we have employers who now cover their workers with insurance save money. State and local governments who cover people now, their own employees, save money. We see that households actually earn money, more money, because as the employer costs go down, it allows for some greater wage increases, and so workers benefit, and so do their families. And because there's cost savings over time, and that we save $1 trillion over the next 10 years, a lot of the taxpayer money is saved in the long run. So we save money right away, and we make healthcare more affordable over the long run while giving everybody access to affordable and accessible healthcare. That's really quite a bargain.
So what are the prospects for Healthcare for America being enacted?
What we know is that people really care about this issue. It's not just a front burner issue in the campaign. If you look at the polls, poll after poll shows that Americans are deeply concerned about this issue. They're tired of the old solutions that say that they've got to solve this problem on their own, and they want to see a constructive new approach that will build on what works in our present system and decisively fix what doesn't and provide people with good quality care that's guaranteed, that won't go away from them when they change a job, that won't be lost when they get sick. And that's what Healthcare America would do. And I'm very happy that, thanks to the efforts of the Economic Policy Institute, that we've seen all of the leading candidates who are interested in comprehensive health care reform embrace this basic idea of Healthcare for America, the idea of encouraging employers to either provide good quality coverage or help pay for a new national plan, that this idea has become the template for all the leading candidates who are committed to comprehensive health care reform. So what I see this effort as showing is that we can do this, that it's not a matter of finding a solution that works. We have now a solution that we know can work. It's a matter of coming together and building a political coalition and the will for change. And I think Americans really want to see their political leaders doing that. And if we do that, I mean, then I think we will have what so many Americans say they want, and that's affordable, quality coverage for all Americans. We'll save employers and states and ultimately all of us money over time, but most important, we'll provide that security that people want, that security that says that if you get sick, if you lose your job, that you'll have some coverage there for you. And in the end, the hope is that people will start to see this solution and others that that build on it as a sign that this is a problem that can be addressed, that healthcare for all Americans isn't a pipe dream anymore. It's really the American dream.
I think it's quite remarkable how the debate on healthcare has moved over the years. We're no longer talking about tinkering around the edges. We're talking about building a new building a system on top of what we have that allows employers who provide coverage to their employees to be able to keep that, but to make sure that every employee, every worker, every person is in a plan that is a good plan, that's something on par with what we have in the Medicare system, adjusted for what a younger family might need. This is cost-effective. This Lewin Associates report that we've discussed, people should really know these are people that are the scorekeepers that rate all the plans that everybody has proposed. They don't work for us. They are an independent group. They have a model. They are basically saying we can have, for the same amount of money that the nation now spends on health care, we can have health care for everybody, and we will reward employers that have health insurance for their employees. They will get it for cheaper. The workers who have been putting a lot of their money away into health care plans will get higher wages. All the other employers will be providing decent health care along the lines of Medicare. And on top of that, all the people that are uninsured will have health insurance. Then, when we look over the longer term, we find that health care costs will go up less with this plan than with the current situation, and all for a very modest cost to the federal government. So I really think we've improved the discussion of health care. Many of the candidates running for office have now embraced this framework for health care policy, and I'm very hopeful that something like this will be implemented in 2009.
Well, thank you both for joining us to explain this exciting new plan. Listeners who would like more information on Health Care for America and the Agenda for Shared Prosperity can click on www.epi.org. That's www.epi.org.